B-Pod Studios.
Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Good to see ya.
Nice job on those 10 questions with Bedard. Little wrap up here by Hardy. We're rolling here. What? Everybody's rolling.
Rolling. What was the wrap up?
Oh, he did. I do it every week.
I don't know.
It was funny yesterday.
All right.
Sometimes it's not funny.
Can we play it today on this show? Just so I can hear it. It's very selfish of me. But if you enjoyed it and it was good, I think our listeners could enjoy it too.
I think Hardy just shooed that off too easily right there. I think it deserves a listen. It's funny.
All right. Hey, you know how we like to dabble in the real estate listings, right?
Sure. Oh, some of us.
You still dabbling with the notion of becoming an agent, Beetle? That was Beetle's get-rich-quick scheme about six months ago.
There's someone trying to convince me to do that, but no.
I finished half the test, by the way, like the real estate test. We did that like when I didn't have a job. I was going to do that. I was going to sell.
You know what I said at the time, Hardy, but I'm gonna keep that off the air. I don't want to get anybody mad at me. Which was, that takes like time. That's a time consuming thing to be one of those people.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
I don't want to.
There's no guarantee.
I don't want to assume you could just do that on the side, Louth. All right. I didn't keep it off the air.
Oh, man. I don't remember that part of it.
Oh, no. I think you were the one that brought it up.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Anyway, you ready for a listing?
We've
done this many times before. The residents of this street apparently call it the gem of Norfolk County. I don't know if you've heard that.
There's a lot of nice houses.
I mean, you know what? I mean, it's a big county. It's a large county with a lot of homes.
No, I understand that. My street used to be known as the Jewel of Roslindale.
Norfolk County.
I got your jewels.
It's it's nearly 700,000 people that live in that county. It's got a lot of homes, a lot of towns, right?
Yeah,
it goes from Quincy all the way down to Wrentham.
I'm in that county.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big county. A lot of towns in there. But this street is apparently the gem of the county.
All right.
It's an exquisite home. 4 bedrooms, 3.5 baths, an abundant amount of rooms perfectly poised for family time or entertaining.
Oh, that's nice.
I need square footage before we do anything else, please.
We'll get there.
Oh, boy.
The sprawling floor plan's main level of living space boasts a living room, sitting room, family room, and a formal dining room.
I have a question.
All equally spacious.
Two of which you'll never use.
I have a question. Like, you're currently a new home buyer. What makes me want to go to a sitting room to sit as opposed to a family room to sit?
Get away from the kids.
Quiet. Peace and quiet.
Whatever is furthest away from the commotion that's currently going on that
wherever the cyclone is, you can move away from it.
Right. What if I'm a people person and I like being with the people?
Well, you are the cyclone in most situations, right. So you would be the person that others in the home would want to move away from.
Hurricane Zoe.
Yes.
Like it. Like that name.
So for you personally, you have no use for the quiet.
I'd be in a family room.
You need a quiet
other
room.
Other people in your house need it to get away from you.
Right. The eat-in kitchen offers stainless steel appliances, of which includes chef's preference gas stove. What does that mean exactly?
Chef's preference?
Is that a brand?
I'm about to find out.
Is that a high-end brand of some sort? Or is that just like
chefs prefer gas?
Right.
Oh, like, I think that's what that means. Chef's preference.
I just have never heard it
gas. All chefs would rather have gas.
Chefs prefer gas cooktops.
Well, of course they do. Everybody prefers a gas cooktop.
All right.
And who would opt for the electric over gas?
I want the electro that just kind of heats up and then it gets red.
Well, the induction is pretty cool.
You know what?
I've seen those. Those are pretty nice.
This does look pretty good, though.
Yeah, that sign of ours, Zolak and Bertrand Real Estate.
Like the guy in the middle, he knows everybody in town, so you need any permits. This guy here in the middle, he's getting all the permits done. He's doing all the grab ass to set everything up.
Yeah.
This guy's the technical guy. This guy's the deal closer.
Closer.
I'm the guy that shows up with the bottle of champagne. Let's sign it up. This guy makes sure all the documents are ready to go.
That guy on the left is the guy who pays no attention to any of the details.
You want to move into any town? They call him Big Daddy Junior. You send him in. He will know everybody. He'll know the fire marshal. He'll know which town selectmen live on your street, which school's the best. This guy right there in the middle. This guy, you bring him at the end just with the liquor.
Let me show you.
That's how we get it done.
This house is ready to party.
Close it.
All right, chef's preference, gas stove. Obviously, chefs prefer a gas stove, as well as custom cabinetry and granite countertops. The second floor is home to four sizable bedrooms and three bathrooms. The master suite features three walk-in closets.
That seems like at least one too many.
Yeah.
Well, you need one for that, like that movie Old School. You come home, you catch the early flight, and next thing you know, two people jump out of your closet, and you surprise your wife. Maybe need a closet for them.
Three walk-in closets and an ensuite master bath. Completing this residence is a finished basement, offering a bonus room, rec room. What's the difference between a bonus room and a rec room?
Well, bonus room, you can
sort of one in the same.
Could be an office. Could be
It's like look at Hardy's basement. You can make it like an office.
I got a bonus room there.
Bonus.
Like your mother-in-law to stay over. You can make it a mother-in-law suite, or you can put a pool table down there and then you play some music.
Well, that basement offers a bonus room, a rec room, full bathroom, and ample storage space.
Oh, that's the key. Full bathroom in the basement.
This home also has an attached three-car garage. All that's left for you to do is come and enjoy. All showings are on Saturday, 10/31, and Sunday, 11/1. I know you're going to clip that. It's fine, so you don't have to celebrate it. You don't have to celebrate it. All offers, if any... Well, I mean, I can't imagine this home wouldn't have any offers, considering how it's... It's on the street that is considered the gem of Norfolk County. But again, all offers, if any, are due Tuesday, November 3rd at 5 p.m. I wonder what the significance of November 3rd is. What do you think November 3rd would be?
Oh, it's like the NFL trade deadline.
Like, oh, is that right?
Yeah.
I mean, if you're
There's
doing...
There's something else going on. If
you're I don't understand how that would have anything to do with it. It's just a house.
Let's get to more of the details first. First of all, listing price, $999,000.
Just get it under $1 million right there.
The taxes are at $11,773.
Not too bad.
Manageable for a home that's $1 million. It was listed last night. And the square footage that you were looking for.
That's Hardy's question.
Lot size, 30,000 square feet. Where is the square footage? Here it is, 5,100.
Oh, that's a big house.
And 18 feet.
It's a big house, Hardy.
Contemporary home.
Why would someone want to leave that house?
It looks like it's got great landscaping. It's newer, for sure.
Sounds like a good house, good neighborhood to go trick-or-treating in this Saturday.
Absolutely.
I mean, you go to the Jewel. Like built, Burnett County. I'm going to take my kids to the Jewel.
It was built in 2013, the home. It shows very nicely. November 3rd. All the offers are due November 3rd. The trade deadline is November 3rd. This home belongs to Patriots cornerback Stephon Gilmore.
Oh. Oh.
Hello. That is who the home belongs to. It's on the street that is considered the gem of the county in Foxborough.
Yeah.
And the home is now listed for sale, and showings are this weekend. And then watch your offers in by Tuesday, the day of the NFL trade deadline. You think that's a coincidence?
It seems remarkably coincidental that Stephon Gilmore would list his home and ask for offers to be in by the trade deadline day for the NFL.
Yeah, the date is odd. I mean, Brady has put his house up for sale.
I mean,
sell,
there's, you know, coincidence, and then there's coincidence.
This isn't just we're listing the home and it's on the market. It's on there.
Yeah, we're leaving this day.
And we're leaving on this day. So if we could wrap this up by Tuesday, yeah, that'd be great.
That's interesting because he has children, too. So, I mean, this isn't just, hey, you pick up and leave with your spouse or yourself, you know, or you're single and just say, hey, pack a couple bags and I'm out of here. Like, you got to plan that.
Like, I just think when you're you're selling a $1 million home in Foxborough, it might take more than a day or two to do it.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
It might.
Not if it's the gym.
But the good news is,
it's the gym.
Oh, and they're clean.
The good news is,
neat and clean. That place must be immaculate.
He seems eager to get the home sold. So if you come in at, 950, they might be willing to just take it because $50,000 to someone making $16 million a year might not be that big of a deal. They just chalk it up as a business expense. I worked there. I had to live there. You know, I had it. It's part of the gig. Buying and selling homes, part of the gig. Do you just list your home in the middle of the season like that? If you're a player who's expecting to stay with a team?
Well, Tom Brady did it, and we were told by many people.
It meant nothing.
So, that it meant nothing. That they have homes all over the world.
All over the world.
And the fact that he was listing his home in the middle of or toward the end of the season there, it meant nothing. Isn't that what you told us? Didn't mean anything.
How much you sell that for?
Still for sale.
Oh.
Still for sale. But did it mean nothing?
No, the point was rich people put their houses up
for
sale.
Did it mean nothing? Did it mean nothing? No, he was moving. That's why he put it up for sale.
No. Well, he knew. He told you that summer. He knew he was gone. The summer prior.
Yeah. No, he didn't tell us then.
No, he told us after the fact. When did you know you were done? Well, that summer. Yeah.
So that's why he put his home up for sale.
What about Kyrie Irving, too?
Yeah. Well, he didn't sell a home, though, right?
Keep an eye on Gordon Hayward. Where's Gordon Hayward live?
He didn't buy the house.
Indiana. No, the real estate transactions typically mean something.
Oh.
Yeah, they typically mean I'm putting my home up for sale because I'm moving out of town. That's what it typically means. And if it doesn't mean that he's being traded by next Tuesday, I think at the very least you look at it and say he knows he's not here next year. He won't need the home for next season.
Right.
So let's get it on the market now. But the eagerness to have all those offers in by Tuesday, he wants this thing gone.
So Gilmore's getting traded.
Feels that way. Does it not? Something to it? There's another note that was revealed yesterday by Ben Volen of the Globe.
Oh.
We'll get to that about Stephon Gilmore.
I got one more, and I got one more question about him anyway.
Who, Volen?
No.
Oh.
Gilmore? Anything else on the house you want to get to?
Nothing on the house.
We'll take a look through the photos.
Nothing. I've looked at it.
What kind of mailbox?
Zoe got a couple text messages during that segment, so maybe Zoe has
something. Yeah, we'll clean out his mailbox, too. Don't go anywhere. We're right back. Yeah.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Comes to sports, they're knowledgeable.
Tell me about a pie that doesn't have a top over it.
And always on their game.
I walk around my house naked all the time.
Solak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
What's going on with Stephon Gilmore, Akib?
I mean, no receiver really did nothing to Gilmore except for DK. DK was the only guy who got deep. DK was the only guy who ended up with 100 yards and a touchdown. Besides that, everybody he shadowed been quiet. So, I mean, 60 yards for a number one receiver is a win to me. If he had 5 catches at 60 yards, that's a win for me. So, I mean, we basing this off passer rating. And as DBs, we don't really care about the passer rating. We care about the guy's numbers at the end of the game. And I think Gilmore doing his job. Now, it's not spectacular like the defensive player of the year last year. That's why if you play the way you played last year, you get a trophy for it. So, I mean, this year I think he's still the top 3 corners in the league right now. I would still pick Gilmore probably first out of every corner in the league right now.
First? You'd pick him first?
I'd pick him first right now. I mean,
if they wanted to trade him, you think they get a first-round pick for him?
Easy.
Wow.
Yeah, somebody's going to take Gilmore for a first-round pick, definitely.
That right there from Toucher and Rich this morning is when the former athlete interviews are totally useless. That's a useless answer for Aqib Talib.
Because he would want the first-round pick for him, and he doesn't understand that the last 10 guys that were traded for a first-round pick were 26 years of age or younger.
Easy? Like, you could easily get a first-round pick? No, that's incorrect.
It's not easy.
Not true.
They may have done it already.
Not even close, but nice try. You know, that's when you're too close player.
Yep.
You're too close and you're friendly with guys and you don't want to rip them. You don't want to speak honestly about them. You take them number one out of all the corners in the league this year? Well, then you haven't been watching. You haven't been looking at what's been going on in the league. Sorry. But anyway, Aqib Talib, Toucher and Rich this morning, talking about Stephon Gilmore and where he's at. He apparently doesn't see the drop-off that the rest of us have seen with Stephon Gilmore. And we've said that on the field, it has appeared that he's checked out at times. And I even said yesterday, I think there are plays where, you know, it's possible where he might not want to stick his head in there because he's trying to remain healthy and stay on the field for next year. He wants to get another contract. Tony Maserati, good job pulling this nugget from Ben Volen's story in the Globe and tweeting it out yesterday. NFL Players Association records show that Stephon Gilmore attended only 4 of the Patriots' 32 off-season workouts this spring, meaning he did not participate in the voluntary ones. And by the way, those were virtual. That required logging on to Zoom.
Right.
And Stephon Gilmore went 4 for 32. What does that tell you about his commitment level right now?
I just wonder if Ty Law would log into the Zoom. Like, I'm a cover corner. Just give me the guy that I'm supposed to cover. What are we zooming? And I'm not defending Steph in that, but what Steph looks at too is what Vince Wilfork did in the past too. You hold out, you get paid. You don't do the voluntary stuff, you get paid. Vince only showed up for the mandatory stuff. He said he would be there when it's mandatory. All that stuff. Vince's the only guy that got paid doing that.
All right, so factor this in too. Does Stephon Gilmore seem happy to you here in New England with his current situation? Is he a happy camper?
He's a tough guy to read. He's a tough guy to read.
Is he happy or not happy?
It doesn't seem happy.
Okay, that's what it seems like. There's something to do with the money. As Tommy Curran, I think, put perfectly in his column a couple of weeks ago, the Patriots don't typically hand out $5 extra million because they just like a guy and they, you know, want to do him a solid. It's not typically their MO. It's not really what they do.
Yeah.
So there's obviously been something going on here. Whether it's the Patriots were trying to move him for cap space in the offseason and he didn't like that. They tried to shop him again once training camp rolled around. He went away for what was termed a family matter. I think there are some doubts as to whether or not it was. There has now been the incident with Cam Newton. Were they together away from the field? Was that a part of the team spread of COVID-19? He's faced some criticism from that. I don't know if he's facing it internally, but he certainly faced it from external people, media right here, the Sports Hub, fans, etc. I don't think he's having a great year. And I would disagree with Aqib Talib's assessment that he's the best corner in the game right now. In fact, I don't think Stephon Gilmore would tell you he's the best corner in the game right now. And now his house is for sale. Throw that into the mix. Hardy, you had something to add to this and talk about.
Get a question.
Well, just to factor this in, all right, Gilmore been rumored to have been maybe part of a trade here for the last week or two if the Pats weren't able to turn things around. Now he puts his house up for sale last night. Offers are due on trade deadline day. My question is, hold on, would they give him any indication that he was going to be traded, to which you both said,
I don't believe so.
So, would they tell him?
No.
He is likely to be traded one way or the other?
You get blindsided by that.
Can I tell you what would happen, though?
They would never work with the player to help the player.
You what definitely could happen? If the Patriots made a call to another team, to another GM, and said, hey, you got any interest in Gilmore? And that GM says, no, we don't, but thank you for the call. GMs are talking to agents all the time and can tell his agent, hey, you know your guy's getting shopped.
So word gets around.
Yeah, because the GMs and the GMs
we're
sometimes
looking for
one.
We don't really want to move him, but if you give us one, we might talk to you.
Hey, they're shopping your guy. It's the same way that, you know, Bert Breer is able to report on this player, X, Y, or Z, was in trade talks because people talk in the league. Agents and GMs and front office people are constantly talking about this stuff, and then they talk to media people. And so when that happens, you know, hey, let me do this. Let me do Gilmore's agent a solid. I got some players on my roster rep by him. Maybe I'll do him a solid. It'll, you know, earn me some goodwill down the road. Huh. Hey, Gilmore's getting shopped. Oh, boy. And then he tells his client, hey, just be prepared. They might be talking to other teams about trying to trade you. And he's reading the tea leaves himself about his situation here in New England, though, especially if there was a back and forth over the salary stuff. He's probably thinking, I'm not long for here. And if they're bringing me up in trade talks, I'm going to throw the house on the market.
Let's
get ready for this.
Yeah, it'll piss you off.
So, no, I don't think the team would go to Gilmore and say, hey, Steph, we're trying to trade you. You know, they're not doing that. But it could have definitely gotten back to him.
All right, that's plausible.
Right? Does that make
sense? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, sure.
Absolutely, and that pisses the player off.
Here's the other part of it, though. If other teams are seeing this that we're not fully aware of what's going on, they look at Gilmore and say, oh, this guy thinks he's going to get traded. He must be under the assumption that they're definitely trading him. Well, I'm going to make the offer that I make for him, you know, sort of appropriate to that fact. I'm not going to offer the sun for this guy, the moon and the sun for him. I'm going to say, hey, oh, you want to get rid of Gilmore? Here's my offer. Here's what I'll give you. I'll give you a fourth rounder or something along those lines. If the player's assuming he's out of town and he's done, maybe that factors in.
See, I just think, too, you maybe you have COVID that factored into Hightower and Chung opting out, and there goes your way you want to scheme things and run your defense, and that maybe started the process of wanting to shop him. But, like, wow, if we're really losing those guys, we don't have a shot at this defense. We don't have a quarterback right now. And maybe that led to most of the stuff that happened in the preseason, the rumors about him being shopped. You know, Bert was all over that. And Bert's hearing that. He's hearing that from people.
And Bert Breer is going to join us today at 11 a.m.
Hopefully I'll have more on this.
Bert Breer will be logging on with Zoom. He's not 4-for-32. Bert Breer logs on to Zoom every single week for us. He doesn't leave us hanging. 4-for-32. Stephon Gilmore on the off-season workouts. Voluntary portion was Zoom.
That doesn't bug me as much. That one doesn't because... Yeah, playing with Ty. Like, what are we going to meet about? Ty used to do that all the time. The hell we meet for? Play man. And he would be pissed when Bill would play zone. I'm a man guy. Pete would play man. Just let me take whoever the hell the guy got. Tell me, I got molds. I got him. We're good. Playbook here. Take mine. Those guys are different. Those guys operate differently. Dion, all of them. Think Dion be on every Zoom call?
No, but do you think Bill Belichick accepts players who blow off the Zoom calls? Do you think he likes those guys?
I'm sure he was bugged by Tom not being around, right?
Sure he
Same
was.
Thing. Yeah, he was not going to say it, but yep. I like guys that are all in. I like guys that want to be here.
There's just something different about the fact that it's
a test.
Zoom and you can get on it from your cell phone.
I hate that too. I hate that not mandatory stuff because that's always a test.
Of course it is.
Mandatory or not mandatory? Bill, if you want me on it, I'm on it. Let's go. What is it? You know? It's all tests.
Mark is in Western Mass today. Hey, Mark, on Stephon Gilmore.
Hey, do you think there's any possibility seeing Gilmore? He doesn't look like the happiest person in the world. He's gone to the Patriots to say, hey, I want to be traded. And the Patriots are saying, we'll try to accommodate you. And that's why he's putting his house on the market. He thinks he's going to get traded because he's asking for one.
I wouldn't rule it out. Would you rule that out? Anybody? He might be asking for a trade.
I wouldn't rule that out.
It's a possibility. The team doesn't look like it's going in the right direction.
And then if they
he wants to be playing for a team that has the willingness to pay him next year. See, and he knows this one isn't it.
He's not getting smoked, to like Tlaib's point. Like, he gave up the ball to Metcalf, but he was there in coverage. So you look at even his past two games. The numbers are better the past two games. So if he's asking to be traded and they deny it, it's not like he's pouting and like, oh, I'm just going to play half-ass. I don't see him playing half-ass. It's not great, but it's not half-ass. Or I'm like, I'm melling it in.
Well, it's something to watch going forward.
Always is.
The home is for sale. Get your offers in by Tuesday, 5 p.m. I think it might be a little overpriced. I think that's what it is. I think it's designed to get someone to put in an offer and make them think they're getting a deal.
Just like Brady's house.
Yeah. Yeah, it might be the
maybe you don't want to sell it.
Maybe it's the same situation.
Maybe you just want to cause a commotion. Maybe you don't really want to sell it.
617-779-0985. The World Series came to an end last night, and it was dramatic. I didn't think this series was all that dramatic, but it certainly was last night.
Well, they certainly had a flair for the dramatic.
They sure did. We'll also hear from Bill Belichick coming up at 10:50, but let's talk about how the World Series ended last night. We'll do that next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Drive home with Felger and Mast right now. Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Definitely disappointed, upset. You know, I don't know. I just want the ball. I felt good. I did everything I could to, you know, prove my case to stay out there. And then for us to lose, you know, it sucks. I don't really know what to say, you know. I want to win, and I want to win the World Series, and that's the goal. So for us to lose, it just sucks. I mean, I'm not going to question him. He's a hell of a manager, so I'm not going to question him. I'll voice my opinion, and, yeah, I can only look forward to, you know, the offseason, what I'm going to accomplish this offseason to get ready to, you know, be the best me I can be for next year.
Series came to an end last night, and I gotta say, I think there was some long-term damage that was done to the sport in one decision that was made in the game last night, and it's the decision everyone is talking about.
That's why we talked about it at the beginning of the week. This is why you're rooting for the Dodgers.
Absolutely.
That's why you rooted for the Dodgers.
When this decision was made in the game,
I don't want that here.
Immediately, everyone who did not have a rooting interest in this said to themselves, everyone who has watched baseball for their entire life said to themselves, I hope this burns you. I hope you lose.
Yep.
So through five innings of game six last night, the Rays trailing in the series 3-2, obviously on the brink of elimination.
Yeah.
Blake Snell got the start and was fabulous.
Dealing. Had a two-hitter going, right?
He had allowed just one hit last night, which was a single, without walking anybody. He had no walks, and he had nine strikeouts. And to that point, through five innings, only two balls had left the infield. Chris Taylor had a single, and there was also a routine fly. Through five innings, the guy had, again, struck out nine, was dealing, and had two balls leave the infield. I mean, he was great. To start the sixth, he gave out a pop up.
Yep,
and then Austin Barnes had a single, and at that point, he was about to go through the lineup for a third time. And there is this thing among the analytics crowd that once you go through the lineup the third time, hitters have started to adjust to that night's starting pitcher, and they have better success in the third time facing a pitcher than they do in the previous two. It's statistically backed up. I get it. But when you adhere to that, when you have a guy who's on the mound, who's pitching as an ace and is just absolutely lights out on a given night, if you don't think you have a decision to make there, regardless of how many times through the lineup you've got, well, then this sport is dead. It's absolutely dead, and they should put an iPad on the bench and let the iPad tell everybody who's in and who's out.
It's a sad.
Because you have absolutely destroyed your team.
Yep.
When Snell was at 73 pitches.
73.
And the next three batters that were coming up to face him, the next three batters had all faced him twice. And you know what happened to all three of those batters twice already in the game?
What happened, Beto?
They struck out all six times.
Oh, my God.
Six Ks
maybe
in the previous six plate appearances. And so his manager felt that at 73 pitches in the sixth inning, It was time to pull him from the game because he couldn't risk him facing three guys who he had already struck out twice each and a guy who had, again, given up like three balls outside of the infield at that point, which just tells you this sport is headed in a very dangerous direction if this is what it's about to become, because that is not entertaining. That is infuriating. And that is just against every fiber in your sports fan body to watch that and see that play out the way Kevin Cash did that last night. And, you know, I saw a lot of things saying, will Kevin Cash get fired? Get fired?
He's told to do that.
The way the Rays operate, I'm surprised they don't give him a promotion after that.
Right.
You know, we are.
Here's the sad part real quick with Kevin, like a guy like Kevin Cash. And you've seen it in baseball where your frontline guy just doesn't have one night. He's getting shelled second inning. And you got the bullpen up and, you know what? It's just his night, and I feel it, and I'm going to pull him here through an inning and a third because I'm going to save him from himself. You can make a human decision there, but you can't make a human decision six innings in when, holy crap, he's got it this night. He is in the zone. But the analytics tell me through 73 pitches I have to pull him. How do you rely on a human element in the second inning to save a guy from himself? You're not looking at analytics there. You're looking at, he don't have it tonight. There's something ain't right. Get the next guy up. Let's go. Get the bullpen going.
You know who might know that?
Who?
A former catcher. Like Kevin Cash.
What's the point of having him out there? What's the point of a manager?
That's why catchers make such good managers a lot of times. They see everything. They see the whole game. They get a feel for the game, right?
Yeah, he's got no feel, or he's just doing his job as he's been told to do it, which is honestly very likely. A lot of people want to pin this on Cash. Pin it on the Rays organization. He's following orders. This is what, again, is going to kill this sport, if it hasn't already. We are 17 years removed now from Grady Little being unwilling to pull Pedro Martinez off the mound in the eighth inning against the Yankees. And Pedro in that inning got Nick Johnson to pop up at the start of that inning at seven pitches, and that was 107 pitches to that point. I mean, we all remember this. I'm just rehashing for the younger crowd here. Okay, we got a lot of young, new blood listening, you know?
Yeah.
Pedro was at 107 pitches. If you lived it like most of us did, you remember this.
Yeah.
And during that 2003 season, much was made of Pedro between the 106th pitch and the 120th pitch of his starts. That opposing batters hit 370 against Pedro Martinez in that 15-pitch window. 370 from 106 to 120. And by the way, it was only broken up that way because Stats Inc. divided up their pitching stats in 15-pitch sections. So from 106 to 120, it was a 370 batting average, and that was the stat that was sort of plastered everywhere after the fact. But it was pretty much known by that point in Pedro's career. After 100 pitches, Pedro started to labor. Pedro was not the same pitcher after 100 pitches. That's like a simple rule of thumb. All right, you got to have a feel for this guy. After 100, he starts to decline a little bit. And so it was obvious that he wasn't the same guy. And that to me was, okay, how are you so oblivious to some of the statistical analysis that if you didn't see with your own eyes, the stats back it up? We are 17 years removed from, oh my God, this manager's an idiot, to now being at the complete opposite end of the spectrum of, oh my God, this manager's an idiot. It's remarkable. It's remarkable how far the sport has changed in that period of time. It really is.
Yeah, the nerds can have it.
The idiots on each end of the spectrum. And again, I hate to pin it on Cash because I really do just think he's doing his job there. That's what they want him to do. Like, he's got a boss like the rest of us do.
You want that here?
But holy crap.
You want that here?
No, what? You want that boss both, like Alex Cora.
What's worse? Pedro or Snell?
Snell.
Which situation Snell to me. Is worse?
Snell to me, because Pedro's your guy. And you walk out there and you talk to him. He's like, I got this. That's okay. You got it, buddy. I believe in you.
But you become a slave to that system.
I root more for that than I would last night, though.
They probably feel a good number of their wins were based on doing that exact same thing. And they weren't going to change what they do just because it was an elimination game of the World Series.
So Thursday night in May, you're going to operate the same way that you are in an elimination.
If that's what the numbers tell you to do, that's what you do.
So throw this into the mix today, the World Series. We've got other World Series thoughts that we will get to today as well. We're going to hear from Bill Belichick. His press conference is coming up next. Bert Breer will join us at the top of the 11 o'clock hour.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Now,
if you want to get weird sometimes, yeah.
Zolak and Bertrand.
Back then, you knew not to touch it.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Bill Belichick is powered by the Oakers Company. They make video conferencing easy and affordable with TouchView Interactive delivery and full installation to give your school or business virtual collaboration and anytime, anywhere learning. Get a quote at Oakers.com. That is OCKERS.com, Oakers.com, powering Bill Belichick's press conference.
Watching Buffalo, it's a lot of... you know, a lot of familiarity with the team, but at the same time, it's a new team. They made some changes in the off season, and you could see this team continue to grow. The general manager and the head coach have done a good job. Bean and McDermott have done a good job of putting the team together, and they're obviously playing well. They're very explosive team offensively, very explosive in the kicking game. And defensively, they are the same defense that Coach McDermott's had going back to Carolina and Buffalo. Fundamentally sound, aggressive, do a good job turning the ball over. They have a good variety of schemes that keep you off balance. They're pretty solid all the way across the board, and. I think they've added a couple free agents, Matakevich, Jones, obviously Diggs, that's helped their team, and along with some young players that continue to improve and develop. So, back in the division, looking forward to this week of preparation and opportunity to go up there to Buffalo and compete against the Bills on Sunday. So. It's been a good week for us.
How much, if at all, have you noticed opponents attacking Stephon Gilmore this year, maybe more so than what we saw from last year?
Yeah. I don't know. I think you'd have to ask those teams what their game plan was and all that. But yeah, he's in single coverage a lot. And, I mean, the teams we play, they've thrown the ball to, a lot of different people. So, I don't know. I wouldn't say it's going to any one particular guy.
And how do you feel like he's just responded to being in single coverage and his play this year?
Great. Yeah, no, great. Steph works hard. He's always ready to go. We've changed up his what he does based on our game plan and who we're matched up against and the team we're playing that particular week. But he's a very flexible player that understands what we're trying to do and how it all fits together and works hard to do his part in it.
Hey, Bill. So there's this report out there that the Patriots are essentially talking to other teams about trading Stephon Gilmore. And I just wanted to ask you if you anticipate having Steph on your roster past the trade deadline.
Yeah, I don't know anything about those.
Hey, Coach, you mentioned the Buffalo Bills have grown this year, and I'm curious in what specific areas do you think they have gotten better, and do you feel they are a better team than in previous seasons?
Well, I mean, offensively, they added a player, like Diggs. Last year they started the season, they had nine new starters on offense, so They've got more continuity than they had last year when we played them in the first game. And, you know, they've added a significant player, you know, with Diggs. They drafted Gabriel. You know, drafted a receiver, drafted a running back. So, you know, made a couple of changes on the offensive line. So, you know, they've added some players. I mean, Diggs is a good player. Let's start with that.
I want to ask you about Cam Newton as well. There's obviously such a focus on limiting turnovers, and Cam was talking about that as well. And do you feel that perhaps, you know, he has been overthinking things in trying not to to commit turnovers? And how do you address something like that from a mental perspective of the player?
Well, I hope everybody that has the ball is thinking about not committing a turnover, whether that's center, the punter, the quarterback, a receiver, a running back, a tight end, anybody else that touches the ball. So that's our number one thing, is to have ball security. So I hope everybody is thinking about that.
Bill, how significant do you view this game relative to the competition in the division this year?
Every game in this league is a big game. We only got 16 of them, so they're all important. Division games, we know, are more important. So
that is Bill Belichick earlier this morning in his press conference. Bill Belichick, powered by Okras. He was asked a number of times about Stephon Gilmore in there.
He didn't deny it.
He didn't say anything about he did expect him to be on the roster after the trade deadline. Not that I think he would ever confirm that or deny that anyway. But
well, he did say the other day, trade deadline, Nick deals with that. Nick in his department.
Yes.
So Nick, man, he don't know anything about, but Nick might.
You'd have to talk to Nick. Oh, he's not available.
Can't get Nick right now. He's busy.
When's Nick's press conference? He doesn't have one scheduled. Sorry.
It's a pretty good out. Gives him an out.
But all those beat reporters, including Mike Reese, right off the bat, asking about Gilmore and his season. I don't know. Maybe those guys are hearing things. Might be hearing things. Again, Gilmore's home is for sale. We'll be talking to Bert Breer about it in just a couple of minutes.
What, the house, the listing?
Oh. No, beyond just the listing, you know?
Yeah.
Jack and Salty. Go ahead, Jack.
Hey, I was just wondering why Cam Newton looks like a Pop Warner QB this year. And also, how much you think it sucks that the Bills and the Josh Allen are going to run the division for the next decade, maybe two decades.
What if they don't win them Sunday? What if Buffalo, of all years?
That guy's from Buffalo, right?
Probably.
Well, let's not forget the most important part of the phone call. They're going to run the division for 20 years.
For decades.
Because they've won four games this year.
They won September again.
They won four games.
Yeah.
So that means for the next 20 years, they will rule the division.
How'd that team look against the Jets?
Talk about that fact.
I'm not doing it. I'm not even addressing the call.
Steve Sanchez of Buffalo?
I'm taking a pass.
Whistle him past the graveyard, Beetle.
Taking a pass.
Yeah.
Tony and Holbrook.
You and everybody else.
Yeah. Tony.
You guys talk about it.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, sure.
Quick question.
Yeah.
How long do you think the momentum
5 days.
Change?
All right, I'm going to put Tony on hold. We're going to try Brandon in Boston. Brandon.
How you guys doing? Thanks for taking my phone call. So we all knew that it would be tough before it gets better, right?
Sure.
So I feel like the Patriots can easily go 9-7 and win this division. If you look at this game after the Bills have the Seahawks, the Cardinals, and they have the 49ers and the Steelers. They can easily lose those games. Oh. And you look at the Patriots, they got the Ravens, the Cardinals, and the Rams. You know, and the Bills could be a toss-up, and the Cardinals or the Chargers could be a toss-up. They can easily win those games.
Brandon, it's a possibility, but I'm going to go with what Hardy's been preaching and harping on the last few days, which is nothing should be considered easy or a gimme or a guarantee with this Patriots team at this moment. They don't get to have that benefit of the doubt right now. Not after two putrid performances in back-to-back weeks and losing three straight. Nothing can be considered that. But I do agree with him. It's a possibility. I'm with Brandon on that. I've told you that's what I'm rooting like hell for. Is it a long shot? Yeah, it might be. But it's better than the alternative.
No, of course it's a possibility. But I'm also kind of looking at this realistically, where you still got your coach, you've still got, you know, a core of players, mostly on defense, I would say, that if you need to think about retooling this team, you're not starting from scratch. You don't need everything. But you got to prepare yourself for that's where you're going. And this is what's supposed to happen, right? There's going to be a lot of people freaking out. I heard Fred talking about this morning. He's
freaking
right.
Out about what?
The fact that for 20 years you've had a team where you expected them to go to the Super Bowl. That you complain about the three that got away and how you only won six with your last quarterback and coach. Huh. That's not how it works. It's how it's worked here, but it is the unique, in every sense of the word, the only time, the only one for 20 years you had a team that you expected to go deep into the playoffs and win the Super Bowl year after year after year after year after year. And now you're just getting a taste of what, okay, this is actually kind of what it's supposed to be. It's not what you want. It's not what you're used to, but you got a team that's struggling a little bit and you're going to have to fill some voids. You're going to have to change things. You haven't had to change all that much, at least at the highest level for the most important people on the team. Now you got to be thinking about it. Maybe with a quarterback, maybe with some receivers, maybe some stuff. This is what every team goes through every couple of years minimum in the NFL. You haven't gone through it in 20 years, and it's tough to wrap your head around.
Bert Breer is standing by, and he's ready to go from the home office. He's going to join us here on Zolak and Bertrand coming up right after these headlines. No commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.